Down speed, dude. Fuck it. I'm fucking tired. I'm done.
I'm done.
I'm abstaining from the episode.
Wow.
My associate will do the talking for me.
Interesting. What is your associate? I believe the last time your associate spoke, he sounded like Steve-O.
No.
or Will Knapp.
No, he fucking didn't.
He sounded really close to him. I'd argue it was Steve-O.
You'd argue wrong. You'd make sure. The thing is, when my friend was hanging out with Knoxville.
Yeah.
He was a fucking man.
When the duck's friend, Johnny Knoxville? The duck's friend, Johnny Knoxville.
Ronnie Knoxville, the duck.
What is...
Ronnie Knoxville, he did a fucking flip out the lake onto the shore. Fuck.
Do you imagine... You know what duck penises look like?
Yeah, they're like corkscrew.
They're like corkscrew and
they
crazy.
They are the R words of the animal kingdom. Because I didn't want to say the word. And maybe...
Oh!
You thought I meant...
Oh, that R word. Okay, yeah, yeah.
There's two.
I think...
Two R words.
I think consent is different for animals.
Oh my God! Cancel this man!
Cancel
this man immediately.
I don't want to come in and pretend like I understand the cultural sexual norms of ducks. And like,
duck vaginas have literally been evolved to evade duck penises.
To evade?
Yeah, you didn't know. This is like,
really?
This is like pop fact.
Wait, does
much.
It mean that only like the goat corkscrew penises make it happen?
No,
what
dude,
does this
so
mean?
So the corkscrew vagina and the corkscrew penis are evolutionary reactions to each other.
Why would the female duck react to... Wouldn't that be bad?
Because I think maybe consent itself became an evolutionary standard.
Mm-hmm.
When the female duck says, I don't want this duck semen.
Right.
That's a good thing, right, I guess? I don't know.
Okay.
But I think that was the first thing to occur, was the corkscrewed vagina... To prevent duck semen.
Oh, but then they adapted.
And
the
then
ducks
they adapted
with the,
their weird
the
penises.
The ducks had with the most corkscrewed penises survived.
Yes.
Just like how most men have a little curve to the left.
Yeah, I would hope that if you have a curve to the left, you are not an evolutionary descendant of a problematic.
Oh my God.
Person.
You're.
But if you were Aiden, you'd say that was fine.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, so it's different.
That's a problem.
Oh, so it's different.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You think ducks and ancient Romans are different.
I do think they're different, and I think if you're a man, a human man,
yeah.
A human male,
okay.
With a corkscrew penis,
yeah.
And you
had some evil ancestors.
God, you've done awful. You need to repent.
You need to repent.
And
that's the only, you know how Christianity is about salvation? We need to save ourselves from the original
sin,
right?
Buy
the actual original sin is having a corkscrew penis.
Stock up on some corkscrew condoms, the ones that have the numbing stuff on the inside, because I don't think you should feel pleasure.
No.
You...
Well, okay, now to take it an even problematic farther step, do you think these people should be barred from reproducing?
Wow.
Okay.
That's a good question.
So now, you've kind of... I've turned you...
You've turned...
I've turned you into...
Now the eugenics is on me.
And I've turned you into the most based member of the podcast.
Dude.
So
this
congratulations.
Is,
welcome.
You know, if we just want to dive into something fucking crazy. This is... So, I'm watching a TV... I'm watching a Swedish TV show right now. And it's a...
Sweden.
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 And they all talk like this.
They all talk about the Sonos Roman.
Look
and
it's
stinky.
And they say the Oxo... And
Forstolen.
But they have this plot point. It's a show that's about like a large family. It's literally called Bonus Family. And the central plot point of the second half of the third season is one of the couples in the show, their new baby, like while she's pregnant with the baby, they find out the baby has Down syndrome.
Okay.
And they're grappling as parents with whether or not They should keep
to
the
put
child
it down
to because they weren't going to have, you know, they were going to keep the child and not have an abortion. But because they find out it has it, the baby has Down syndrome.
What's the alternative? You
thinking,
give it up
for
adoption or something?
No. There's no you had. They were either have the baby and raise
oh, they're finding
the baby
out and it's in the womb.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's what I mean.
I thought
no,
it was born.
No, they're not fucking. What it, no, the baby came out and they decided to gun
that's
it
what
down.
Saying,
that's
what I
they do
immediately
Sweden.
Thought. And I was like, geez, the Swedish are fucked up.
No, this is a big ethical debate.
Of course.
I think in Nordic countries, it is more commonplace to find out your baby has a disability and to abort it in result of that information.
Right.
It's like, it's a pretty common thing.
Yeah.
You ever wonder why they don't have any people with Down syndrome in Iceland.
I can't believe that's a thing.
That's why. But it's like...
I can't believe... But there's not some statue PFP from Twitter going to Iceland and then being like, you know what? There's not any of them around here.
Anyway, the point is they have very relative to like the US, like per person, they have like way fewer people with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And other disabilities in general.
Sure.
So this is a really, really contentious topic, I would say, in general, but particularly,
I think so too, yeah.
Particularly like in the US, it would be, I think most people would be like, you can't do that. Cause it's in this like conversation of like eugenics and acceptance of disability and stuff like that. And I'm watching this like family Swedish TV show where it's just like a casual, it is like a very emotional arc in the story. But it's a very casual plot point for a show that is like half drama, half comedy.
Yeah, you can write anything you want.
Yeah.
You could have made it about someone stealing a toy car.
Yeah.
You could have.
Instead, in this show, it's about whether they abort their child with Down syndrome.
And
I'm like, dude, this
that.
Is crazy.
That is crazy. Well, there's also an interesting idea where it's like, if you are pro-choice, that choice should extend to the idea of, right?
Okay.
So
see, that's the thing. This is what people argue, though. It's like, at what point are you crossing the line of like eugenics, right? Are you saying that? I think that that's why this conversation is so uncomfortable for people, right? Because it brings into question the like validity and like normality of people's existence as disabled people,
right?
Does
eugenics imply, because Down syndrome is not necessarily a genetically passed down.
No, it is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. It isn't.
I thought it was.
It
just
doesn't
a,
have to be.
It was a chromatic aberration.
It can be like a mutation. But if you have Down syndrome and you have children, you're more likely to pass it on.
Are people with Down syndrome able to have children? That's not a.
I believe so. Yeah.
That's a real question. I thought they were
hold
sterile.
On, hold on. Let's. Jamie, pull that up. And Jamie's fucking me. Okay, it's not usually passed down.
Because that's like the big problem.
I mean, it comes from a mutation.
Well,
there's
eugenics
like
that have to do with like eliminating the chance of this race continuing to repopulate.
I think
right?
The literal meaning of eugenics is intentionally skewing with the way people like reproduce to produce specific features.
I see.
And that could be applied to a plethora of things, right?
Right. Okay,
so
okay.
In the case of like, you know, the obviously the most dramatic and you know, commonplace example of this is like Hitler wanted to create like the fucking Aryan race
or whatever.
And only have these people like have sex with each other. Like there's like that, right? Which is like really aggressive and specific, but that doesn't mean that like eugenics is a broader term that applies to like you could select any factors, and I think it technically qualifies as eugenics. That's my understanding.
I see.
Of it.
Okay. I feel like it's hard for people with who are into eugenics to grapple with the idea of a Punnett square.
To what is I don't what
you
is
know
that
what a Punnett square is? It's
a
like
Punnett
literally
square?
Genetics 101. Look it up.
A Punnett
Jamie.
Square? Pundit?
Punnett. It is basically it's a 2x2 square that displays recessive genes and not.
Yeah.
So it's like
yeah.
Like to grapple with the idea of a Punnett square.
That's really funny.
And it's like
that's really funny.
It's like, okay, well we don't want redheads, right? So let's shoot this redhead guy in the head.
Mm-hmm.
To stop that from happening.
Yeah.
But then it's like redhead gene is often recessive.
Yeah.
So it's like
No, then I don't think the average fucking like fucking dude who's like I'm about eugenics and I'm posting on fucking poll is thinking about Punnett Square or the X the Everything app. I don't think that guy is thinking through the dynamics of recessive genes and how he would enforce his policy. Like it's or how it would like how this functions within the real... This guy doesn't have a fucking master's in biology.
But some of them do. Like, they get so hardcore racist. It's like that old joke in Community where Pierce's dad, he's like... I talk about this all the time. He's like, he talks to fucking Jeff Winger, and he's like, what are you? Oh, typical Welsh. And Jeff Winger's like, who is a white guy? He's like, dude, this guy's the Abed of racism.
Getting really niche with your white people racism is pretty funny.
It's pretty funny.
Like, if somebody grilled me about my Scottish roots...
Yeah. Scottish dog. And you're just like, oh.
No one's ever come for me like that, you know?
Yeah, you really gotta be a certain type of evil.
Yeah, to be that studied with your... the fucking debate and the discussion, right, is like as soon as you start selecting for traits like this, there is a portion of people that start you're deviating from like the natural way of something happening. And I think some people are inherently uncomfortable with that. And then there's other people who are like slippery slope we're about to get to. It's like, well, if I want to say no to my... I'm not saying these things are equivalent. There's a lot to be
but
said
it's
about
in the
this
same
topic.
Conversation.
I'm in a fucking shed with Anthony. I just wanted to bring up a plot point about a TV show. This is a heavy topic.
The fun thing is that we aren't in the situation, and we just get to try to understand it rather than... Yeah.
But the argument, I think the types of arguments there might be is like there's one group of people who's like, if you start selecting for something like this, then you can start selecting for something like the way their hair and face looks.
Sure.
You could start potentially doing something like that. The other camp, there's like, I think there's a different camp who are like, you know, if you have Down syndrome, you can live a happy, fulfilling, normal life, you know? And because I think people will draw the line at like, well, your child has like this potential disability that will kill them within the first year.
Yeah, they're gonna die when they're five.
Yeah, and I think people look at a situation like that quite differently.
Well, it's funny because it becomes this like ultimately gray area because it's like, imagine if you were able to make your child's penis huge, like straight up 9-incher.
I'm imagining this, not my grown adult, but. My kin.
Out of the womb.
No, not out of... No one's looking for 9-inch penises out of the womb.
Swinging around.
No, nobody
you swing
needs
it around
to
like
be swinging out the womb.
You swing it around like a ball and chain, dude. You swing the baby by its 9-inch penis. Okay, but... So there's benign, quote-unquote, things that... This was in Gattaca. It's like you can change... You could take away certain disabilities or, like, conditions from your potential baby using genetic sequencing or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, what if you're just like, I just want him to have a really fucking...
Huge penis.
A huge penis.
And some people...
Or I want him to have three nipples. I just want it. I just want it.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter.
You're diving into the ethical problem here. You're
That's
diving
what I'm saying.
Further in.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think anybody thinks that you should be able to select for swanging 9-inch penis out the womb. I don't think anybody's in that camp. But
what? I'm in that camp.
I think... This
you gotta get special diapers.
It's an interesting...
What are you supposed to do?
The Huggies just won't do anymore, dude.
The Huggies weren't
the Huggies
built for this
do.
Fucking...
They
this
weren't
young,
built for it.
This young stallion.
Bro, I've got my kid on the changing table in the airport bathroom, and his penis is fucking
his
hanging off the ledge.
His penis makes a fucking... sound.
Oh, dude, I'm fucking... Stop looking at my son! Stop looking at my fucking...
He's a human being!
He's a human being! And I chose this for him!
It'll be normal when he's older.
It shrinks.
I just thought it'd
He's got a Benjamin Button penis. Did I select for the Benjamin Button penis?
When he's 70, it's micro.
Yeah. I'm flying to Iceland where I can legally get my son the Benjamin Button penis.
You're like, I want it to be an almond when he's at retirement age.
He just like can't get it.
And he's like, I used to be so normal.
Yeah.
And now it's tiny.
Now it's going to be tiny. I set him up for this.
So this
is, you know, and listen to this fun and nuanced and divisive conversation that we're having, you know. This is all being wrapped up in the context of what I would call a comedy TV show that I am struggling to understand.
Yeah, because they all sound like fucking, like cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if the baby should have been born. What are we going to do? Oh, no.
It was?
And then they go play CSGO for four hours.
I'm queued with Forrest and Getright. I wonder what they think about my child. Valve, they brought the price of the M4A4 down to $3,000.
$3,000,
no.
Honey,
let's stack Premiere and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Now they're Russian.
It's like diving into Russian. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, man.
We have
a lot of fun here on X the Everything app.
On X the Everything app. Publishing the advice show on X the Everything app. It's available there for free. You can find it in spaces. You can find it in posts, pictures. Bots.
And you could ask Grok to give you a summary of the advice episode.
Yeah, it's good. We feel free to community notes this episode so that future.
We have implemented the community notes feature on X Everything app.
Yeah.
And our language learning model will find a new way to call your skull a racist shape.
And then Elon will look at it and he'll say he's looking into that.
Concerning.
Looking into this.
I'm looking into this one. Don't worry.
You're not. He's not looking into it at all.
He's fucking typing in Slack to some fucking person who just doesn't want to lose their job. And he's saying, hey, do you think, are there any female employees here that are like 25 that I could talk to right now? And X the Everything app company?
X the Everything app company?
And the guy's like, yeah, here's the guest list.
You just talk to him, dude. Talk to him.
Here you go. Here's their Slacks. And then he sends them whole.
You don't need...
Sending whole on X.
I've got a casual first question. I thought this was kind of funny.
Right.
Kind of cute. From Calvin, 20. What should I do for my 21st birthday? I kind of just need suggestions for what to do.
Wow. That's a great question. He's looking at me like I've done it again.
It's kind of a banger.
Look at me go. Yeah, it's a great question, Calvin.
Yeah.
All we know is that Calvin is male, 21, and named Calvin.
Pretty much.
Shit. All right. Yep. What you want to do when you're 21 is you go to a mini golf course, and you are every time you miss a shot, you drink some beer. Every stroke, you drink some beer.
You take a shot. No.
All right, because you'd kill yourself. But like, every stroke you take a sip of beer, and then by hole 18, you're drunk as hell. I don't know.
That's not that bad.
It's kind of fun.
That's like a power hour, which you will be drunk as hell.
You'd be drunk as fucking hell. I would. It's at least 18 sips of beer.
So here's something you shouldn't do. At least 18? Oh, God. This would be maybe more than a power hour, huh?
It's 18 holes. That's why I said only a sip of damn beer.
Yeah, just a sip. Oh, not a shot. Yes, power hour is a shot.
You would die.
You'd yak. Don't drink 21 shots. I don't think any good 21st birthday story I've ever been told has been from one of those people that decided to do 21 shots.
You know what you shouldn't do? Don't drink so much that you feel like shit. How about that?
Yeah. Ooh,
drink just a normal amount. Don't feel like, oh, I gotta do more shots, dude.
Enjoy a few legal throwbacks.
Yeah.
And enjoy your evening. You know what I liked about my 21st birthday? That I remember most of it. I like that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Getting blackout,
got a little hazy at the end.
Getting blackout is like, it seems so funny, but at the end of the day, it's like not that funny.
Because
you don't even get to experience it. You're gone.
Getting blackout sucks. I've only gotten blackout, I think, like three times. Three times.
Oh,
and every single time the next day was horrific.
Yeah. Dude, I got alcohol poisoning when I was a teenager.
Oh.
It was like, it was miserable.
Yeah. Okay, so we agree on that. Don't drink that much.
Don't drink so much that it's a problem.
I did like a bar crawl with my coworkers that I was with at the time. They like planned a San Francisco bar crawl, and then we like would eat. You'd go to like a taco place, and then you'd go to a bar, and then you'd get a cocktail, and then you'd rotate throughout the whole evening.
And then on Tuesday morning, you'd pee out of your butt.
What does that have to do? Wait, how did you leap to that?
Because it holds. It holds inside.
Okay.
Because it all happens on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Then you talk about it on XC, everything else on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, it all comes out.
Yeah.
out of your butt.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And well, back in the day, back like in the 80s, they didn't have bidets.
I feel like your experience is, God, bidets would have gotten me through some hard times, actually.
That's another tip.
Yeah, Calvin,
get
buy
a bidet
yourself,
for yourself.
Why don't you head on over to
swipe.gg.
Swipe.gg.
Right?
Bidet.gg.
Bidet.gg.
Swipe.live.
Swipe.live.
Bidet.gg. Swipe.live. Ask.cleaning.
Ask.cleaning.
And you could buy a bidet there. That'll help you through.
Honestly, get a bidet because they change your life. You don't have to be 21, turning 21 to get a bidet. This is not an ad read. I'm just remembering how nice it is because I had, I had a dream last night that I had an insanely messy shit.
You had a dream about shitting?
My dreams have been so vivid lately. And one of the parts of my dream, I was with Sajam, and we were like cleaning up like pollution.
Your shit?
And I had to take a dump in this giant lake house.
Oh.
And there was no bidet. And I just had to keep wiping. And it felt like I was in like this miserable like hell. Like that couldn't. And I had to tell Sajam. I was like, dude, I took the messiest shit and it's not over. Like I know I'm out of the bathroom and here right now with you, but it's not over. You know what I'm saying? So
have you told Sajam this?
I had to in my dream because we were cleaning up pollution.
No, have you told real Sajam about your dream?
This is like, I woke up at like 2:30, so.
Jesus, his sleep schedule is a fucking
train wreck right now. It's really bad. So, get a bidet. That's number one, don't drink so much that you black out.
Number two, get a bidet.
Or have someone get it for you because it's your damn fucking birthday, you damn American son of a bitch. If you're American. And your mom's a bitch.
Okay. Calvin's mom is not a bitch.
Mm.
Hear a lot.
I've talked to her a lot too.
Maybe
she talks to me different.
Oh, wow. She's chewing you out. She loves seeing me. Because I didn't ruin it.
You know what else?
For others,
don't do a lot of drugs.
No, don't do a lot of any specific substance.
Just like a little bit of like this and that.
Just enjoy the evening.
Being lucid is cool.
Spend some time with your friends, remember it, and I think if you like, personally, when I was 21, I mean, I still do a little, you know, but I loved dancing, so what I did when I came back the week with my friends is I went out to a dance club, like the week after I turned 21, because I was with my coworkers in San Francisco, and then I went back to Seattle. And that's what I did with my Seattle friends.
Look at
you. You just do something simple like that. Maybe if you're into hiking, just do something special and memorable with the people you love, and then it'll stand out. Don't do any too much of one substance that would inhibit your ability to remember the nice day.
Maybe it's even just getting fucking hammered and playing Dark Souls in a Discord call with your boys.
Could be that.
Just find out
what
that
means
to you.
Yeah.
And if you're ever like, oh man, life is kind of hard, like how do people get through it? Just realize that Aiden has that fucking haircut and has his whole life, and he has a lot of friends.
Yeah.
It's actually crazy.
And I've overcome so much. This is what I do, not for my 21st birthday, but what I've done for most of my birthdays since my 21st birthday. What are you fucking doing? Why are you recording in the middle of our recording? We already have two cameras on.
Picture.
For X?
for X the Everything app. Dude, you look bad.
Every year, I think since my 21st birthday, I've just planned a trip for myself. So, like, and that could be somewhere close. Like, one year it was going camping on Mount Rainier, and other years it was flying to a city in Europe or New York. And just picking,
if your dad's a pilot, you got an advantage.
Yeah, and I just like skimmed my tickets through my dad. So it's doing something that is memorable where you get away and do something for yourself, I think is just something basic and fun. Okay.
Did you hear what I did?
Yeah, I fucking heard you rip. I heard you rip, and you know what? I'm embarrassed because I wanted to do that when I was you on the show, and I couldn't.
Ooh, it's not as easy frustrated as it seems, huh?
I kind of liked this question.
This smells like fucking hot old beef.
Jesus Christ. Christ.
It smells like...
What's wrong with you?
It smells like car meat.
Car meat?
Yeah, dude.
Okay, it hasn't floated to me yet. It hasn't made contact. Stop! Stop! You keep outputting more.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude.
Oh, it smells like brakes.
I don't like this, man. It smells like brakes?
It smells like if someone put...
Oh! Oh, it just hit.
It smells
like... What is wrong with you? It's a small enclosed shed.
It smells like if someone took a hot brake rotors.
Oh! Oh, man. It's fucked up. We have to record. We have so much time. You're such a...
Oh.
You can't even... Oh! Has no vent.
It'll air out. There's circulation. You're being a child. He's being a child right now. But this is what the advice show, this is what it all comes down to, man. I was fucking stomping my feet. I was just bitching and bitching and bitching before I got here. Time to do the advice show that I hate. That I fucking hate it. And he's like, the fans like it. I'm like, fuck the fans. And I said that, but I didn't mean it, because you're here with me right now, in this solo world, this solo episode. You know, I always thought I could be a good radio DJ, which is essentially solo podcasting. It's like you get to play fucking Dig in Your Scene by the Blow Monkeys, and then come back and be like, that was Blow Monkeys. That was a good one. Coming up top of the hour on KRZQ, The River. We got a couple good hits for you. Hoping for your drive time commute is feeling okay. Hope you got your Waze app out. Hope you got everything going on. It's Friday. It's Friday night. It's actually Thursday right now. You like it? It does smell like an old car made of meat.
Oh.
There's like
okay,
oil
it's
in
it's
there.
Less bad now.
Now he's got his Snacky Bears.
Oh.
Snacky Bears! Thank you, Bears. All right. What's the next question?
The next British.
Puss, what?
Chorgus. 28.
That guy's from Sweden.
Chorgus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows Henke.
Henke.
In Norge.
Norge. I am a night operation manager at a big box home improvement store, the blue one. I love a lot about my job, mainly because I get to drive a forklift all night. But
that's
recently
so
we have
sick.
Hired a few new people that need a lot more oversight than the longstanding members of the night shift. Normally I can address these issues indirectly during our nightly meetings, but one guy just hasn't taken the message to heart. Every night I'll see him wandering around the store while he's not on break, very far from his assigned area, generally not doing what he's supposed to be doing. I don't want to be too much of a dick because, like, I get it. Work sucks, no one really wants to be here, but his tasks not getting done has made upper management watch us much more closely than they used to.
Mm.
How do I get through to this guy that we without having to write him up? Some more info, I'm one of two managers on this shift, and the team definitely sees me as less of a hard ass than the other supervisor. I get along well with the problem associate, but I worry that he sees me as a friend and not as his friendly manager. And the title of the question was simply put, how to be more assertive in a managerial role. Have you ever been a manager?
No, but I've managed people, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. There is like The Wire?
I do. Oh, do I know? Good police? How to be good police from McNulty.
No, okay, look. D'Angelo Barksdale is a character in that show who is essentially a mirror world version of middle management. Mm-hmm. He has soldiers that he needs to manage and guys that sell drugs, and then he has his higher ups, which is his Uncle Avon and Stringer Bell and these guys that run the whole business. And he is stuck in the middle. And middle management is kind of like the worst place to be in because you have more responsibility and you have less of the fruits of that responsibility, which it gets taken by your bosses, right? And their bosses have bosses that get more, and essentially goes all the way to the top for Lowe's. And it's funny because it's just the worst of all of it. Unless you're like a weird psychopath who kind of really likes commanding people at a very low level and feeling like you're the biggest fish in the pond. But it doesn't sound like you because you have a heart and a soul. But I think what you do in real talk is you go to this guy and just say exactly what you said to us. You're like, dude, look, I know you don't want to fucking be here. I know work sucks, but when you don't do your stuff, it makes the guys above us look at us more closely, and that's cringe. So the more you do your stuff, the more we can chill out. Maybe don't exactly say that, because you don't want to give this person outs to just be a bad worker. Because I get it, right? It's like, some people are bad workers.
Yes.
Some people are just bad at, like, doing the job that they got hired to do. Even if it's, like, stocking shelves, even if it's, like, doing complicated stuff. I think at Bed Bath & Beyond, I was not a good worker. I was slow. I was lazy. I didn't want to do it. I always fucked off. But, you know, at the end of the day, I worked hard because the people I would close with, they would get yelled. We'd all get yelled at if I did something wrong. And I cared more about that. So, it's kind of leveling with this person initially is my first response. Is saying, look, man, we don't want the fucking... I got bosses too, and they're gay. So,
and then
let's figure this out.
And my gay boss is watching me.
And my gay boss is watching you, but he's also watching me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to be cool.
I think there's a way to like talk to your coworker about these sort of issues without, or your subordinate, I don't know, to talk to them without being a hard ass. There's a way to like level with this person and like calmly talk about it and be like, hey, man. Seems like you haven't been doing your job lately. It's like, unfortunately, like, because this happened, like, we're under, like, more scrutiny altogether. Would you mind taking care of your stuff?
Also saying, like, I don't want to write you up. Your shit. Basically saying, because you have the power in that situation. That's another thing from The Wire. It's like, McNulty says that being a beat cop is the last great dictatorship in America. This is way before a lot of stuff happened, even though cops have always kind of been evil. But he basically explains, like, you can jam somebody up for anything you want. Yeah. If someone is like drinking a 40 on the street, you can jam them up for it. You can put them in the car. You can arrest them. You can give them a hard time. You can like, or you can just say whatever, go ahead. It is your choice. And in a way, small subordinate power relationships have the same idea where you can go up to him and say, I don't want to write you up, bro. And I like, but this sucks. Or you could just raw write him up if you were, like, a bastard. But because you're a human being who doesn't, like, he's not this corpo, like, identity, you can make that choice, and it sounds like it's what you're doing. But leveling with them and saying, essentially, not verbally, I have the power to write you up, but I'm not doing it because I'd rather talk to you, is this power that you have, and that's good. But you're not saying that exactly. You're ultimately saying, I don't want to write you up, dude. But, like, that's what they want me to do.
I think I wouldn't bring that up in your first conversation with them.
No,
I think
for sure.
I think the person interprets that as, like, a threat, potentially. And that doesn't sound like the foot you want to get off on.
Because writing him up is, like, it's the on-paper version of explaining that this person is not doing their job mm-hmm. and a reason to eventually fire them.
But getting around to that, if this person continues to, like, be a problem after you've spoken to them the first time, is definitely...
It's like, because that's something what you want. You want them gone.
I think that I manage technically a small team at Mogul Moves right now. And the way I deal with this, because ultimately, it's a pretty cushy gig in a lot of ways. Like, I work for Ludwig, and then I have oversight over these people, and we just need to get our job done by like certain dates. And for the most part, everybody handles their shit really well. Occasionally, something will come up where I need to, like, put my foot down a little. And I think it's really important to be gracious at every opportunity you can be.
Yeah.
So that those moments don't come across so harsh. Like, I think I give a lot of, like, breathing room and grace for, like, small mistakes and deadlines and, like, give people a really big heads up. And then if something is, like, finally an issue and I press on it, I think I have the goodwill of the people I work with to take the criticism seriously or the evaluation seriously. So it sounds like you have a good rapport with this person. So hopefully in that way, they're, like, ready to receive, like, some sort of small nudge in the right direction because they do respect you. That's what I would hope. But I think that's an important thing is, like, things go down the line. It's like, if you have this conversation with them and then they correct course and they're chill and they did what you wanted, being, like, kind and, like, recognizing and rewarding that is also good.
I had a boss at Bed Bath & Beyond. I know I bring it up a lot, but it was just such a fun place to work, and I worked there for a while. But he was, like, really cool, and he was, like, God, he was, like, what, fucking 20 years older than me and shit, and had a kid, and, but we were buds. Mm-hmm. Like, make no mistake, we got each other. Like, he watched a lot of movies, I watched a lot of movies, we had the same sense of humor, he thought this whole thing was stupid, I thought it was stupid, but he was a manager who made more money and had a kid and had, like, this life to manage. And when I would mess up, he'd be like, dude, you're messing up. And I'd be like, I know, I'm sorry. And it would make me not want to mess up because I respected him as, like, a human being. And there were other people who were also managers like him, floor managers or whatever, who were like this total cunt. His name was Dave. He's probably dead now because he was so old.
Mm.
Dave was such a dick and everyone hated him. Dave wrote me up. It was the first time I've ever been written up at a job. And I don't even think I deserved it. Maybe I did. I don't know. But
nah, I think there's some people. I think I've worked with so few people over the years that I didn't enjoy working with. But I remember being at Dairy Queen and we had this one manager that everybody universally disliked. And it was just because she was so hard-nosed about everything. And she was never, like, kind. And she was never, like, particularly fun to be around. And she was very critical, but also didn't seem like she tried to form a genuine friendship with you in any way. So there was no, like, brevity to...
Good managers that manage entry-level employees are very... The reason why they're good is because they understand the stakes of what's going on. They know that this isn't the Navy.
Yeah.
That this Dairy Queen is not life or death. No one really wants to be here.
Yeah.
And honestly, it'd be kind of weird if you really, really wanted to be here. It's okay to, like, care about your job and care about doing a good job. But good managers have a sense of self-awareness that allow them to connect both below and above.
What I think about a lot, I super, super agree with that. I think about a lot the difference between her, that manager, and the general manager of the store who is above her. And his name is Ken. And Ken, everybody liked Ken. And Ken could also get hard on you and be critical and be like, you need to do this correctly, or you need to, like, take this into account, or, like, we need to be getting the drive time down, or you need to clean this up. Like, asking you to do things you might not want to do, or, like, point out things that, like, might be frustrating. But the difference between him and her is, like, the grace that he allowed in all the periods in between. That he was helpful, respectful, flexible, fun to be around and talk to about stuff. So he intertwined all of that with his ability to, like, effectively manage. And it's funny, I think her name was Debbie. She just could never turn off mean manager mode,
yeah.
Even when it didn't matter.
Yeah,
it's like, bro,
right?
There's no cars here. There's no customers. Why are you being so anal about things right
yeah.
now? Why do you care that we're, like, talking in the kitchen? Or
contextual self-awareness and
yes.
awareness in general.
But Ken wasn't like that. I think that's what people look for. It sounds like you're already kind of, like, on the road of, like, being that guy. And I think that gives you leeway when you, like, do make the the decision to like give someone that constructive feedback and ask somebody to do their fucking job. Because some people just don't do their jobs.
Some people are bad workers. It's okay. It's okay to admit and be like, this guy's a bad worker.
Mm-hmm.
Your job in that particular situation then is to make them into a better worker so they don't get fired, so you don't get yelled at, so everything gets done so you can fucking finish your shit and go home and beat off and play Dark Souls or whatever.
Yeah. So you can beat off and play Dark Souls.
That's what we do
Torgus.
This for. Torgus?
Yeah.
So you can jork your little Torgus.
Torgus, do you jerk your Torgus?
If you jerk your Torgus, please sound off in the Advice Time channel. We have 20 minutes, Aiden. No, it's 40.
Crazy, dude.
We got 20 more minutes of this fucking Hell in a Cell.
No, I'm just checking because I want to know how many more questions. I'll
rip your fucking pants off and go insane on your mouth.
Why would you need to rip my insane on my
I'm
mouth?
I'm a visual guy.
You go insane on my mouth, but you need to rip my pants off to
like
do that.
Like and look down every now and then.
Okay.
And see your corkscrew shit.
That's my corkscrew penis. I'm straight as arrow down here.
Straight, the most straight unproblematic penis arrow. You'll ever meet.
Yep. Yep. I kind of liked. Yeah, I thought this question was good too. Summary. Someone is slowly taking my job, and I don't know how to deal with this situation.
Oh.
This person is Tim, 19.
Dude, this happened to me. I'll have great advice.
Okay. Hello, Yard Boys. Thank you for reading this. In my church, I'm very involved with a lot of things regarding our technology. I'm in charge of managing it and running it while at church. This includes the sound system, lights, cameras, and any visual aspect needed to be presented. Even though I'm in charge, I do have a team of people helping while I mainly monitor the sound design alone during the service. A lot of tech, a lot of fucking new wave. You on that new wave shit?
Like that.
Not a Catholic church.
You know what I like?
Not a Catholic.
One dude speaking about Jesus Christ.
Hey, find God. Find God in the Catholic church.
See if you can find God in that that PCB pussy boy.
PCB. I'm part of a. Yep. Protestant new wave shit.
Ugh.
That's what I think we should be. Let's get really anal about Catholicism. Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Oh, Protestants, you drink in church.
I bet
your
pastor's a fucking woman.
I bet. Dude.
Do you know that's crazy? That's crazy. Do you know that about Catholic Church?
What?
You can't become a pastor if you're a woman.
That's insane.
I know.
It's current.
I know, it's insane.
It's current year.
I know. And current year, and it's still that way. I'm part of a Protestant branch of Christianity, so I'm not a part of the typical Christian church you may be aware of. At least in my state, this faith is particularly active in regards to events with youths and young adults. Yeah, I'm familiar with the youth group.
Protestants do. I used to play drums for a church band for a couple months, and one time I was practicing in there, a couple guys came in like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm practicing for the band.
Bro.
And they were like, they had beers in their hand, and I was like, yeah, I'm just practicing. Like, okay, cool. By the way, this is fine. Protestants can drink in church.
Yep.
I'm like, all right, fuck it.
I'm glad. Look, I'm glad you're involved in your church. This sounds good. I love that's like the, it'll be some church, like some new church that looks like it was an office building and it's called like Christ the King, like New Wave Christianity.
Dude.
And fucking you go on Sunday and you fucking eat ice cream with like the other kids.
There's like
and
a
then,
laser show.
And then they like DJ and you read a Bible verse. Like that's.
No, it's not that great. Look, because I would play the church band and we play during Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was funny because, you know, it was actually very sweet and it was very beautiful because it was right when gay marriage got federally legalized.
Yeah.
And the pastor, who I'm not kidding, was a woman.
Yeah.
Gave this beautiful speech about how, like, love means all love. And that's what the fuck we're talking about. And
it never happened in my Catholic church.
And it was so beautiful. And she got a standing ovation, dude.
Oh
was,
my God.
It was really cool.
Nah, not my. This is my old man Aiden opinion. I liked when church was fucking boring and you kneeled at the pew.
You kneeled at the fucking shit.
And you look up at the statue and you drink the wine and you pretend it's his blood you're suckling down.
You suckle the blood out of him.
You suckled the blood.
And it helps you.
And you shake the hand of the pastor who just got moved there the month before from some other church you don't really want to ask.
You don't
want to
ask why he got moved.
You
don't want to
ask why
he's a good pastor.
Why he's there. He's a good.
It's fucking reading him in that room. Father Murphy.
Father Murphy, he's in Dayton, Ohio
Might
now.
Might have been the funniest
They moved him to Dayton.
I don't know what he's gonna do in fucking Ohio, but
Ohio is fucking.
I fucking love
Father Murphy.
Father Murphy.
Probably, I fucking know that guy. He probably moved to another state. Fucking 9 months.
9 months, eh?
Nine months.
You know why? Go fucking sucks.
Back to Tim's question. These events incorporate many young people to come together quite frequently, and the young adults at my church are often asked to lead out the songs and singing, since that's what the church is known for in our denomination. So my role at church goes into any events that we are asked to do songs at, and I manage the technology there. Yeah, for like performances and stuff. I got you. My problem is that someone new has come and taken over my job. Mm. He recently moved to my state from a different country, and even though he doesn't go to my church specifically, he goes to a sister church that is frequently in contact with us. So that means I see him at these events. Not only is he my age, but he is also better than me in every aspect that revolves around my role at the church.
This is like Mandark in Dexter's Lab.
After recently arriving, he ended up helping around with the tech since he said he was familiar with this type of work. However, soon this, quote, help turned into him managing it himself. To everyone else, it looks like he's in charge and no one questions it since he is good at what he does. But to me, I feel like I have hatred burning inside of me. I have this feeling of being inadequate and inferior because I'm slowly being replaced and I feel like I won't belong there anymore since he's mainly running it now. It's not like I don't know anything about our tech, it's just that he's just better than I am. This feeling of inadequacy and jealousy is almost too much to bear. Every time an event comes around, instead of hoping it turns out well, I just hope I get to do something instead of wasting my time and standing there while he does everything himself. These feelings are especially strong when I have to drive a car full of people and equipment to an event over an hour away just to sit there and do nothing. I feel like I just wasted so much time, and even though I know I shouldn't hate him for it, I do. I know that it's just my lack of skill that's the reason for these feelings, but I can't help but resent him for taking one of the only things I had going for me in terms of responsibilities. How should I deal with this situation and these feelings of hate, jealousy, and inadequacy?
How old is Jit?
19.
Okay. You know what's funny is, while I was thinking about this as you were reading it, Nick, I'm going to answer this as Nick would answer it, because it's good advice, and it's how I've tailored myself to being in this way. But this is something that can happen a lot, and your identity is wrapped up in the idea that you're good at this one thing that nobody else is, and then all of a sudden you go to a melee tournament and it turns out that you're shit. But it's obviously different. But what you should do, number one, is understand that your abilities are all based upon your amount of effort to put into something. It's not just like that he's better than you because he was born cooler, but he probably is more handsome, and that's your fucking problem, and your girlfriend's cheating on you. But it's more that he's just done more work and has probably applied himself enough more to a level that surpasses you, and that's okay. There's always going to be someone better than you at something. At the fighting gym, there's always a guy that's fucking stronger than you that will mug. It's like a rule of life. So, number one, take that part of the ego out of what's going on here, because it's all in your control, especially for something like a technical field where you can learn and you can apply yourself and you can study. But number two is, don't look at this guy as a problem or an adversary. Look at him as a peer. Look at him as someone. If he knows a shitload more than you do, learn from him. Because what this means is you actually weren't interested in being like doing cool AV shit. You were just interested in having a skill that people liked. And that's not good. That's not a necessarily good or sustainable reason to be getting into something. Because if, like, with, for instance, Nick, when we have a DP on who knows way more than him, this guy named Steve we've worked with for a while, he's, like, really good at color, he's really good, he's just the GOAT. He's done so much cool shit. And Nick doesn't say, oh, fuck this guy. Oh, no. Oh, this guy's, like, taking over the idea of the thing I'm supposed to be doing. It's like, no. He's asking him 100,000 questions. He's working with him. He's also looking for ways that he can complement him with skills that Nick has that Steve might not, right? This is what you need to be doing instead of caring so much about your identity of being good at something. And the sooner you do that, the sooner you'll stop being fucking miserable.
Damn, maybe Nick is good at giving advice.
He is good at giving advice, especially about shit like this. That's exactly what he would say in probably a better way and probably have even more about it to say.
I think unless this person that you're working with is a total prick, which
they might be.
They could be. But you I feel can still like people, jump in people and be like, might can you be like more something? Protective of things like this when they're younger, especially. But the opportunity to speak to this guy and be like, ask questions as you're working through stuff to figure out how the equipment works in ways that you didn't know it did, or spending time outside of your work, like researching stuff that complements or would help you at the job while you do it, using this guy as a resource to get better at the thing, growing with him and having more to do when you finally get to the shows is the way to go for sure. If you actually like doing this thing, maybe this is the confrontation of like whether or not you actually like this type of work. I'm gonna assume you do.
This isn't the only opportunity.
No. Like, there will be more opportunities to do stuff like this. He also, whoever this person is working with you, will not be there forever either, and neither will you, right? Whatever you learn at a time like this in your life will transfer into opportunities down the line to continue being, to continue this type of work and being better at it, and you get to be the mentor in the future. I think that's an important thing you can look out for too, is I think this person who's the same age as for you, it probably isn't as like cognizant of how they might be able to be a mentor, or perhaps like don't want to be condescending. So don't do anything to like teach along the way.
Yeah.
But in the future, when you have learned more from this position and you get the opportunity to do it again, and maybe you're 25 or 30 or 40, and you have a young person who's your age now working with you, you get to understand what this feeling is like and, you know, bring that person into the fold and teach them what you've learned.
Yeah,
you're
being threatened right now because he's your same age. That's like the only, that's what's making, if this guy's 10 years older, you'd be like, oh, that's Unk. Unk knows more than me. But it's not
abnormal to have these feelings of like hatred or jealousy, but understanding them and knowing that they exist and then turning it into something productive is the best course. Because there's nothing like, you don't get anything out of like, oh, why does this guy know so much more about the fucking lights and soundboard than me? It's like, because he probably did it more.
He did it more. He knows more than you because he earned it.
And you can just do that. It's not like you're fucking out of time either. You're not even 20 years old yet. This is when you do and learn things.
It's also not basketball. It's not like you're fucking 5'5 and you're like, I want to be a pro baller.
And you can't. Like, I was born 5'4 and I just can't work the fucking Yamaha soundboard.
Dude. And I also, by the way, kid who wrote this, I do not believe that it's just him doing everything and there's nothing for you to do. There is always something to do.
If you're setting up lights and things for shows, there's always something to help with. I have to believe that there's more going on.
Like, you would also be surprised at me, Slime Anders, your best friend ever. I will go to a set with like Nick and all these guys working and Ryan and shit, and I don't have shit to do because they all know more than me. Even though I want to so bad and I feel useless, but I know that I have skills that do not necessarily apply right now that I am able to use whenever they need it. And it's about like, and you know what? When I want to learn, I'll ask them. I'll be like, what's that for? What's that do?
Yeah.
Not in an annoying way, but like, and they people like explaining shit.
Yeah.
So this
being
is
being present and sucking in the information that is available to you so that you have it for next time, asking questions that so you can prompt those opportunities to learn, and then also being confident in like what you already have learned or accomplished up until that point. Those are things all to focus on.
Yeah.
It's way easier to be this person's friend and work with them and learn from them, I think, than the alternative. Unless they're a total prick, God is real. Shmeep.
If God was real, then this other 19-year-old kid would be dead in the fucking ground. And your problems would go away. So think about that.
No, you're right. If God was real,
he would strike this kid down.
His jealousy would manifest into God's will?
Into a lightning bolt, yes.
Wow, okay. No, that makes sense. That's good. That's the point of believing, after all.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I always think about? You know, this is off, you know, a little off topic.
Was it Pascal's wager?
Well, this guy's Protestant.
This guy's Protestant, so we
Catholic.
Can get a little fucking crazy.
I was Catholic.
Yeah.
But there's a third big... There's a third big one.
Lutherans.
No. Lutherans are
Methodists.
Lutheran. Those are also Protestants.
I don't know shit.
Believe those are two. Am I correct? I believe Lutherans and Methodists are just subsections of Protestantism, right?
I don't know.
Someone check
me
on that. But I believe the third main one is Orthodox, like what? Russian Orthodox.
Okay.
Like that's dude. I don't know shit about that. We don't have a lot of that going
on. Yeah.
What's going on in that one?
It is funny that the Russians believe in our Christian God. Isn't that crazy?
Funny? No, it's not crazy.
It just seems kind of like...
Most of the world, it's the biggest one. So it's not that crazy.
But it's like, the Russian culture is literally called, or in the olden days, was called the Second World. We are the first world.
Yeah.
Russia's the second world.
Yeah, we coined that to like belittle them during the Red Scare and shit.
But why are we belittling them?
Because
they believe in Jesus Christ, God is
love.
Because
they believe in a different one.
It's the same one.
No. Tell that.
It has to be the same one.
I want you to go to Ireland 50 years ago and tell them all it's the same one and see what's good.
Oh, I'll go upside your fucking head, I will. Why don't you meet me in the streets of Dublin? We can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's...
Hard.
I want to stay away from this one, actually.
This is what you're scared. We were talking about eugenics in the beginning of this episode.
Let's go back to eugenics.
This scares you.
And this actually scares
me. That's crazy.
This conflict was too recent. I don't want to... It's too... I'm scared, and I don't know enough to talk about
it. That's crazy.
I'm scared.
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, but... And I'll have to say it. It can't sound that bad. If the Irish prostate monster believes in God, everyone does.
They had beef, dude. The Protestants and the Catholics had beef. Big time.
Oh, no.
Big time.
Frito and Cheeto are beefing at the local.
It's not like that.
What am I missing here?
It's not Frito and Cheeto. Bro, it's like the base of massive geopolitical conflicts.
Really?
Yes! No, you can't. You're fucking
with
me.
I'm not fucking with
bro,
you.
Bro, it's like...
What
like,
conflicts?
Dude, some of the biggest ones, dude.
Like Nazis?
I mean, not necessarily, but kind of. It's intertwined into, like, everything, man.
Whoa.
Dude, Protestant and Catholic beef goes back far, and I'm sure the Orthodox were getting in there... And then there's more denominations and stuff, and then they fight more. And the Protestants didn't want to be around the Catholics, and because the kings and the queens, and they all had.
Oh.
And then the Crusades and
wait, that was part of the Crusades.
It's all wrapped into it somehow.
Whoa.
I don't know enough to talk. That's why I'm scared. I don't know enough. All I know is that it was problematic.
But he knows enough about corkscrew penises.
And I know a lot about those. I know a lot. I didn't know a lot going into this episode, but I walk away with a wealth of knowledge. And next episode, I'll be bringing back my research paper on the conflict history of Christianity.
Wow.
Dude, I can't... There's just no way that you haven't watched YouTube
videos
about this.
To me, it's all the same God. I don't understand
it. It is the same God.
I know about the
it's
Crusades.
It's also the same God in Islam, in Judaism. It doesn't...
No.
It literally is the same God.
But
that's
it's
Abrahamic
religion. A different name.
It's Abrahamic. It doesn't.
His name is Allah.
No. Allah is just God in that language. It's still just God. It's Abrahamic religions, bro. They have a lot of the same. Jesus exists in Islam. You know that, right?
No.
Yes, dude. He just isn't the guy. He's a prophet.
Whoa.
So is like Moses. Jews believe in the same God.
What?
Yes, it's their.
And why is everyone so mad?
That's a great question. That's a great question. For starters, some religions are Abrahamic.
Wow.
But for two, I don't know, people get riled up about
shit. We should
shit.
All fucking join hands and kill Buddha.
Buddha? The war against Buddhists.
Like, if that's a different
Everybody
guy.
Everybody is Buddha. Yeah, but he's not, it's different.
We
it's,
kill
he's
the
not
Buddha.
God exactly.
Actually,
we
probably want that.
It's different. They don't.
He'd be like, yeah, I don't fucking care. Do it.
Fuck, I don't know enough. I don't know enough to fully correct him. I don't...
What's, like, a crazier religion that, like, an indie religion that we could get into?
An indie religion?
Yeah, like Zoroastrianism.
Yeah, it's like Zoroastrianism, probably.
I'm your little witch for you.
You want to be a wick?
I want to be your witch.
Witch?
your Zoroastrian witch.
Okay. Okay. I don't know. I don't know very much about Zoroastrianism.
I cast a hex.
What's?
And you cursing me? Won't be able to have an orgasm for a week.
I feel no like hard you try. I don't know enough about Zoroastrianism to know. If
I cast
this
a hex.
To know if this is insensitive.
Let me know when you're beating shit. If it's hard to come.
If I'm okay, I'll update
then
you.
If my hex works.
I'll update you. I haven't been beaten a lot lately.
That's great.
I'm putting up record low numbers.
Uh-oh. Getting older.
Maybe low T.
Start hitting the squats.
Low T.
You know what? It's actually because you don't work out.
Hmm?
Because when you do strength muscle training,
yeah,
your body makes more testosterone, which makes you hornier.
That checks out.
That's not like bro science. It's just real.
That checks out.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Anyway, on that note.
Okay, I'm wrapping this up. I'm wrapping up. I'm scared.
That's crazy.
I'm scared about the reception to this one.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Well, we touched on some heavy topics today.
You only got scared till we started talking about Jesus.
I was a little scared during the beginning.
No.
It's a sensitive topic.
Well, we aren't explaining our stance.
No,
and
I'm just saying that it's insane that it was a beat in a comedy show.
Yeah, it is
that
insane.
It's like
and you're also walking me through the idea, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, huh, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
What else, Uncle Aiden?
I have so much to teach you about. Well, after we do our history lesson, you guys can tune in next week or whatever. Okay. Okay, bye now.
Bye, man.